This is News Talk.
Well, as you can imagine, given their coverage of gangland crime in recent years and indeed of the Regency Hotel attack, a number of the tabloids this morning, the Red Tops, going with the arrest of Gerry Hutch. So we'll begin with the Irish Daily Star. Monk busted in Spain. Cops nick fugitive on the Costa del Sol. He faces murder rap for Regency hit. The Irish Daily Mirror. The monk lifted in Spanish bolt hole. Gerry the Monk Hutch was arrested in a Spanish bolt hole yesterday when undercover cops swooped on the Costa del Sol. Police working with Gardaí from Dublin jumped on the 58-year-old gang boss in the Fungarola area at around 4 p.m. as he headed for a stroll in the sunshine. A source told the Mirror he's in custody. He was walking down a street not far away from where he disappeared in April. And the Irish Sun, Monk arrested. Gerry the Monk Hutch was sensationally arrested in Spain last night. The veteran criminal was nabbed by cops in Fungarola over the murder of David Byrne at Dublin's Regency Hotel back in 2016. I saw one crime journalist describe it as seismic news, and certainly in that particular world this is absolutely huge news, and we'll have more on this on News Talk Breakfast this morning. Paul Williams, who has been covering this particular area of Irish society for some time, he'll be on the show to talk about just how seismic that news is about the arrest of Gerry the Monk Hutch. Other news this morning, quite depressing when you talk about things going up in price. So we'll begin with the Irish Independent. Perfect storm as no end to property price rises. You've probably heard about this house price report from the CSO yesterday. And house price rises, according to Charlie Weston in the Irish Independent, well, those price rises are going to continue for the foreseeable future as popular rural areas outstrip urban neighbourhoods. So you talk about sprawling out of big cities, particularly Dublin. It's not just the suburbs now. You're going right into rural areas there, and they're putting it down to the trend of working from home and, I suppose, as well, a lack of properties available in some of those areas. But anyway, it's driving a boom in prices in border and Midlands counties, which traditionally have obviously had much lower property prices. Now they're increasing as people move further out of Dublin, and they've now risen for 10 months in a row. And really, the Irish Independent saying there's absolutely no sign of property prices calming down in any way at the moment. Now, the Irish Examiner also leads with that. House prices will just keep rising, and it's pretty depressing news if you're trying to buy a house at the moment. The Examiner says house buyers are now paying an average of 7% more for a new home than they would have a year ago, with experts warning that prices are only going to keep rising as long as the huge gap between supply and demand remains. And the figures are based not on asking price, but actually the actual amounts that people pay for their houses. And I've told this story before. I'm in a new estate, and houses across the road from us, which are being built at the moment, they're €10,000 more expensive than what we paid for it. And no, it's the exact same house a couple of months after ours was finished, started building these, and they're 10 grand more. The Irish Daily Mail this morning goes with a different angle on prices increasing, and this is that all of us are going to be hit in the pocket as inflation is now growing at its fastest pace in nearly 9 years. Basic food items and fuels are experiencing a slew of price increases. Soaring costs for everyday essentials such as petrol, electricity, gas and rent have already been felt across the country, and I know many of you are commuting at this hour of the morning, you've probably noticed it. I certainly did. I filled up my car during the week, and for the first time ever that I can remember, it was €100 to fill the tank. It's never that much, but that's the price that fuel is going up. I'm sure you have your own experiences of that as well. We're slowly starting to notice this with inflation, that the everyday things we have to buy going up in price. A new report from the CSO warns that things are about to get worse as we move into the autumn and winter months, and the central bank and consumer experts also echoing that warning. Now, elsewhere, the Irish Times this morning tells us that a prominent homeless charity has now suspended an employee and appointed a senior counsel to examine, quote, serious matters which came to the board of came to the attention of the board. A related Garda investigation is underway and the charity's regulator has been contacted. The charity is Inner City Helping Homeless, and it says that in recent days, serious matters have come to the attention of the board, and we immediately initiated an investigation and commenced an independent process, which we expect recommendations from shortly. So we wait and see what happens with that. That's according to the chairman of the charity, David Hall, who a lot of you will know from his work to do with housing and homelessness and different things. He's a well-known media commentator. He's also chair of the board of Inner City Helping Homeless, giving that statement to the Irish Times. On to COVID-19, and the Irish Times says this morning that the government is looking at establishing a compensation scheme for anyone who suffers injury from one of the state's vaccine programmes. Now, they're not bringing in a scheme, certainly at the moment, just for COVID-19 vaccines. This is a wider scheme for all vaccines which you may get under the state. But obviously the COVID-19 vaccine would be included in that. A government source said that while there was no final timescale yet for when it will be established, it was being progressed as a matter of priority. So obviously gearing themselves up for potential legal issues with vaccines, including the COVID-19 vaccine. The Irish Independent tells us this morning, you know, you talk about rising hospital numbers and the Delta variant and all of that stuff. The Indo this morning says that NPHET hasn't met in 3 weeks as COVID case numbers steadily rise. The National Public Health Emergency Team last met on the 27th of July. They did not meet the following week, and it's not planned to meet this week either. The last time it met on July 27th, a total of 1,120 daily cases were reported, and we had 142 in hospital. Since then, obviously, on Monday, we had 1,837 cases and 219 people in hospital with COVID-19, but NPHET isn't meeting. At the time, Tony Houlihan said NPHET will no longer meet weekly. NPHET doesn't need to meet every week anymore, and since then, they're not meeting every week, obviously. Now, what else do we have for you this morning? Here's an interesting one. I think this will certainly get people talking this morning. How do you feel, particularly now if you're a woman, how do you feel if your man has loads of female friends? So in the Mail this morning, we're told that women are turned off by men who have a lot of female friends. Researchers showed women photos of men and asked them to rate their attractiveness. In some of the cases, the women were also told how many female friends the men had on Facebook, right? So the women had a look at the man and also heard, yeah, he's a load of female friends on Facebook. Men with the most women pals were rated 40% less attractive than the men for whom no friendship information was given. And the lead author of the report said the reason could be due to the idea that these men would have many options to choose from and be hard to secure as a partner. I think this is fascinating because I think if you ask a lot of women, how do you feel about it? They'd say, oh, I've no problem with that at all. Absolutely. It's great to see my man has lots of women friends in his life. But one wonders deep, deep down, do some of the women really go, I don't actually like it? It's a turn off, according to the research, but I'm sure others will say, I've absolutely no problem with it. And I think it's great. And it shows that he understands women or all that stuff. So that's in the Mail this morning. And final story comes from the Examiner. If you are left handed, well, big celebrations for you today, because today is Left-Handers Day. They really have a day for everything now. Today is officially annual Left-Handers Day, according to the Examiner, and it's a chance for left-handers everywhere to celebrate their unique interpretation on life. Now, in fairness, the Examiner does remind us that being left-handed is not an easy road travelled, because you, if you are left-handed, you only account for 11% of the global population. And certainly in the past, left-handers were associated with lots of bad things like being evil or bad luck, mental deficiency, cruelty, and even murderous tendencies. In Albania during the 1970s, if you were left-handed, it was illegal. And in Africa, the candidate for chief of a tribe would no longer be considered if they were left-handed. And if you're of a certain age, I don't need to remind you that in Ireland, many school children were once forced to write with their right hand even if they're naturally left inclined. The Examiner says forced to write with their right hand. For a lot of people, didn't they get a beating if they did write with their left hand? In more recent years, though, we're told that schools have made sure to have one or two pairs of special scissors for the left-handers, but in school it's still difficult because the layout of some books and desks has meant that it's quite difficult for left-handers not to smudge their copies and things like that. So happy Left-Handers Day to all of you left-handers out there.
On 106 to 108 FM and newstalk.com, this is Newstalk.